Well, although I don't want to focus on this, I can't let the beginning of this wonderful psalm pass without acknowledging the great way it begins. The earth is the Lord's, the world and all its inhabitants. This wonderful reminder that everything in creation, the world, all creatures, us, are all God's. It's always good, I think, to be reminded of that. But what jumped out at me this week, and you can probably already guess because I was talking about it with the children, is the word and the use of the word holy in both of these readings. The psalm says, or asks the question, who can ascend the Lord's mountain? Who can enter his holy sanctuary? This is an interesting question. It might remind you of last week's psalm, which you remember was a psalm about pilgrimage to Jerusalem and Mount Zion, and lifted up the fortresses there as a reminder about trust in God. In one sense, this psalm is probably literally referring, when it talks about the Lord's mountain and the holy sanctuary, to the Temple Mount there in Jerusalem. And at this time, the temple which was there. And remember, for the Jewish faith at that time, the temple there in Jerusalem was where God dwelt. So you would go up the mountain to the temple, the holy sanctuary. Now, of course, this is also a wonderful metaphor for other things, including perhaps heaven, going up into heaven, God's mountain and holy sanctuary. But it's a holy sanctuary. And thus, the question, who can go? Who is worthy to enter God's holy sanctuary? The psalm gives us an answer. Only the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not swear falsely or make false promises. Who can enter the Lord's house, the Lord's holy sanctuary? Only those with clean hands and a pure heart. In the Bible that I use for my daily devotions, and I've used this same Bible for a number of years, I have a little note in the margin next to this verse. Who can enter the Lord's holy sanctuary? Only those with clean hands and a pure heart. I'm in trouble, I think. And maybe you are too. Clean hands and a pure heart. Look, I do my best. I wash my hands, you know, throughout the day, but somehow they always keep getting dirty again. I try to have a nice, pure heart and be pure in all that I do, but somehow selfishness and pride and all these other things keep entering in. And I can maintain a pure heart for about 18 seconds. And that's when I'm sitting all alone on my deck with a good book and a beer. Other times it's even less than that. Clean hands and a pure heart, boy, that leaves a lot of us out. And makes me think the Lord's holy sanctuary might be a pretty empty place. Maybe Mother Teresa and Fred Rogers and Jesus. But then we shift to Ephesians, where Paul says at the beginning there, God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless in God's presence. Now, there's a lot packed into that one little sentence. God chose us. And maybe it's worth saying, I take that us as being quite inclusive. Remember, the earth is the Lord's and all its inhabitants. God chose us. God chose us. We didn't choose God. In Christ to be holy and blameless. Here we have salvation. This is what salvation is, that God chose us in Christ through the love of Christ, through what Christ did. God chose us in Christ to be holy and blameless. We aren't, but God chose us to be through Christ, holy and blameless in God's eyes. I invite you to sit with that for a minute. Think about what that is really saying. We are not holy and blameless. We do not have clean hands and pure hearts. But because of God's love in Christ, God treats us as if we do. And even more than that, God sees us as people with clean hands and pure hearts. This, to me, backs up what I was preaching about a couple weeks ago, where I, another psalm that said, if God keeps a record of sins, who can stand? Who has a chance? And here we have, I think, affirmation of that. God looks at us and doesn't see us with dirty hands and impure hearts like we are. God looks at us and sees us as perfect and good and holy. That's a pretty amazing thing for Scripture to tell us. We aren't worthy of this. We don't deserve it. But when God looks at us, God sees people who have clean hands and pure hearts and are able to enter His holy sanctuary. I know some of you have dogs in your life. You know, when you come home, no matter how awful a day you've had, no matter what awful things you may have done, you know how your dog always greets you at the door? As if you were the greatest person in the entire world? I don't think it's pure coincidence that God spelled backwards as dog. That's how God sees us. That's why I also think Mr. Rogers and Mother Teresa have a lot of dogs with them in that holy sanctuary. I don't know about people, but I know there are plenty of dogs there. That's how God sees us, with that sort of love. You are the greatest person ever. Holy, blameless in God's eyes. And that's what gives us, I think, the impulse to want to live up to that. I mean, don't you want to be nice to your dog when he or she greets you that way? I want to live up to the way God sees me because I know I'm not there yet. And so I would invite you this week to think about that. This amazing idea that God chose us in Christ to be something we are not yet, which is holy and blameless, because God loves us that much. And as you're pondering that, maybe knowing that that's how God sees you, how might that change the way you look at other people? And maybe look at yourself as well. I want to end with some words from one of my favorite spiritual writers, a man named Henry Nouwen. Many of you may know him. He might also be up there with Fred Rogers and Mother Teresa, I suspect, in that select group. No, remember, we're all going to be up there. I like to think of Mr. Rogers, Mother Teresa, and a bunch of dogs, don't you? Just having a great time. Anyway, this is Henry Nouwen. This is from a book he wrote, in the 1960s, I think. I think it's worth noting. I wasn't going to read this, but I noticed the sentence before what I want to read to you. Nouwen writes this: in our society, we are bombarded with so much news about human misery that our hearts easily get numbed simply because of overload. How's that for prophetic? But Then he goes on, now and does, and says this, "But God's compassionate heart does not have limits. God's heart is greater, infinitely greater, than the human heart. It is that divine heart that God wants to give to us so that we can love all people without burning out or becoming numb. It is for this compassionate heart that we pray when we say, quote, 'A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit.'" That's Psalm 51. And now in concludes, "The Holy Spirit of God is given to us so that we can become participants in God's compassion and thus reach out to all people at all times with God's heart." Amen.